Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
The wrong advices.
Hey, what's up, guys, and welcome to Advices Radio. This is episode number 48. I'm your host, Scott McNally. Glad to be back. Hope you guys have been enjoying the new content we've been putting out at the Advices Radio Network. Besides the radio stuff, we've been putting out some video. If you haven't, check out the Advices video feed at iTunes. It's a new feed. Subscribe to that. You can also check it out on YouTube, of course, advicesradio.com. We post all our stuff there. We've got new video podcasts. We have training stuff, and I'm working on a bunch of other cool things. So anyway, we got a cool show lined up here today. North Americans happened not too long ago, and we had a slew of new pros. Well, I grabbed a couple of them, a couple of the good guys. Couple of the guys I really like. These are really good people. They're people who I have enjoyed listening to, guys that know how to articulate themselves. They're people that have been doing this for a while. And if you have the willingness to learn, they are here to teach. IFBB Pro Alan Kress and IFBB Pro David Reed. I'm excited to talk to these guys today, and I am going to ask them one question only. And that is, if you could go back to any point in your history as a bodybuilder, would you change anything? And if so, what would you change? So yeah, I'm excited to bring that to you guys. Hey, you know, one more thing. One more thing before we get started. There's something I was thinking about today, and I wanted to briefly chat about it here. I was just talking to a client today about all these different like sugar-free condiments and food additives, this Walden Farm stuff, all these different things that are available. And I feel like it's easy to get obsessed with things like this while we are dieting, you know. While we're dieting, we are creating a physical void in our bodies. But not only is this a physical void, we are also creating a mental and an emotional void. And, you know, for some of us, we have a stronger emotional connection to eating than others. But, you know, at the end of the day, these products are not going to fill that void. Or, you know, going out, like if I were to go out right now, which I would freaking love to do, and eat a bunch of burgers, you know, something like that. There's a McDonald's just like less than a mile from me. I could almost jog there. And believe me, I'm hungry right now. That stuff would be delicious. But seriously, 5 minutes, maybe not even 5 minutes later, like right after I'm done, probably even before I finished eating, that guilt would start to set in and those feelings would start to come back. And within 2 hours, I would be hungry again and that void would come creeping back in. Because here's the thing, there's nothing you can really do to fill that besides taking yourself out of the calorie deficit, which I don't know about you, but for me, getting in shape is what I want to do, and this is just part of it, and hunger is part of it. So the key is to find acceptance. And the analogy that I gave to my client today was being stuck in gridlock traffic on the freeway. You know, there's one or two ways that you can deal with this. You could get like all upset. You could get all, and believe me, I have. I'm not perfect. Just because I'm telling you this stuff doesn't mean that I haven't lost my shit, you know? You could get really upset and try to control the situation, and guess what? You know, you're probably going to get there in relatively the same amount of time as you would have had you stayed calm. So if you can step back and find some mindfulness and say, okay, I'm stuck in traffic. It's moving very slow. I'm going to get to my destination when the traffic lets up. Then you can kind of find some peace there and maybe use it to your advantage. You know, I like staying cool in the car. So maybe I'm going to like crank my AC up a little and turn on a podcast that I've been wanting to listen to that I haven't had the time for. And, you know, you can make it like into some me time. And guess what? I'm going to end up getting where I need to be probably in about the same amount of time as if I got all upset, but the situation is going to be totally different. So it's about acceptance for your situation. So instead of, you know, obsessing over all these delicious foods that we see on Instagram and all over the internet, you know, just find acceptance for where you're at and acceptance for the hunger. I feel like I wasn't always able to do that. You know, earlier in my bodybuilding, when I first started dieting at like a really extreme level, I struggled more with this and I had a tougher time, you know, and I am so much happier now. Like I'm dealing with it. Yeah. Okay. So I'm hungry. I'm not feeling as with it as I would like to. My sleep pretty much sucks. I go to bed late cause I'm hungry. I wake up early cause I'm hungry. I can't sleep well cause I'm hungry, but hey, it's all part of reaching my goals, and my goals are important to me, and they're more important to me than eating a cheeseburger is right now. So if you can remind yourself of those things, that's kind of where the acceptance can come in. So it's just something I was thinking about, and it's something that I know people can struggle with, especially when they are newer to doing this. But hang tight, because you are on the right path and you are supposed to feel this way. Yeah, so if you haven't put it together, I'm dieting pretty hard right now. I'm about 5 weeks out from the contest I've been planning to do. I'm in pretty decent shape right now. Decent enough that I decided to do a contest earlier. So I jumped into a show that will be at the end of this week. It's coming along. I'm excited. It's exciting to be in the hot seat again. I'm used to helping other people, you know, to have these cool experiences, and it's so fun to do that. It's almost surreal to be the guy that's actually doing it again, because I haven't dieted this far down for about 2 years now. I just have had my mind focused on my responsibilities and in continuing to, you know, focus on other areas of my bodybuilding and business and life and podcasting and all that. I've had my hands pretty full, but man, I am so pumped to be in shape again. It's so freaking cool, and I feel so lucky. So listen, I'm going to stop this rambling right now so we can get to the show. Guys, I hope that you're all doing great. I hope that you are staying honest with yourself in the gym and with your training. Thank you very much to David Reed and Alan Crest for coming on the program and spending your time with us. Guys, let's get to the show. Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm Scott McNally, and it is my great pleasure to have here today IFBB Pro Alan Kress. Alan, how does it sound when you hear somebody announce you as IFBB Pro Alan Kress?
Honestly, I'm still getting used to it. I have everybody at my gym, and then I've had friends text me, and that's like their leading line right now, IFBB Pro. So it's still sinking in. The emotions have finally started to calm down in a sense.
Yeah.
So that's good. Finally. So now I'm switching the mentality of, yes, I'm an IFBB pro, and now, you know, things just got real. It's time to step things up even more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even though I'm considered masters, I'm not looking at it that way. I'm focusing on, you know, taking basically the entire 2018 season off
okay.
to make a splash when I make my pro debut in 2019.
Hmm.
And, you know, especially obviously with the blowing up the way it has in the last year, year and a half. I mean, these guys are coming out of the woodworks now in this division.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the thing that helps me a lot is that now I actually can grow and improve because the weight class is an extra 10 pounds.
Okay.
So that's a major thing with me. Think, you know, with my mindset, knowing if I can add 10 to 15 pounds of pure, you know, stage weight,
yeah,
that I can be decently competitive at that level.
Hell yeah, man. That would be a lot of muscle on you. No question. Is there anywhere in particular on your frame that you're thinking you specifically want to work on?
Oh, absolutely. My kind of the lower lats, the back thickness I need a little bit more of, and definitely my hamstrings.
Okay.
And then from there, you know, just a little bit bigger size in the delt arm area. But, you know, I need to keep my tiny waist. My quads are my strong point.
Yeah.
So my front shot's my best shot. I just need to work on my side pose the most, and then the back shot from there. Because I talked to Steve after the show and stuff, so I wanted his input
okay.
on what he thinks I really need to do to have a shot at the open class. So that was his takeaway, and that's my thoughts exactly. So plans already been set into motion.
Really?
I mean, I'm anal with that stuff. I mean, 15 months to me isn't a real long time. I mean, I haven't taken this much time off in probably 4 years because I've been trying to get my pro card for such a long time.
Yeah.
So to actually have 15 months of pure off season, no prep, no nothing to focus on this. I mean, I've already set a plan into motion to start this week. So we'll see how it goes.
That's awesome, man. Now, how long have you been training for consistently and as a bodybuilder, you know, getting your nutrition right and everything?
Well, consistently and stuff, probably 24 years now getting it right. You know, that was a lot of, in the beginning, obviously trial and error. I mean, when I came out and about when I was 17 is when I started, and there was no internet, there was no cell phones, there was nothing. I mean, I had to read everything. It was really old school ways of doing things. So I like it that I was brought up that way and in the trenches experience. And I've been around a lot of people and, you know, like the Dave Tates, Louis Simmons, I came up around them and actually, you know, did do competitive powerlifting there for a few years
okay.
with the bodybuilding. So I've learned from a lot of old school guys, which I'm grateful for, and then a lot of newer ones as well. My big thing is just always learn, you know, always education, always trying to learn more, better, efficient ways, and not be stuck in the old school mentality, but take that and apply it with everything that I'm continuing to learn.
I totally see that in you. You know, for those of you guys who don't know Alan out there, and I'm sure most of you do, you know, not only is Alan a bodybuilder, but he's also a diet coach, and he works with people on nutrition programs. And I see you online sharing your information freely, helping other people, and I can see your passion for learning and continuing to gain information and knowledge. I think that's such an important part, man, you know, of continuing to stay fresh and not only continuing to make my own progress, but only also to keep myself interested in the sport and loving it. You know, I have to stay open-minded the way you yes. are. I think that's pretty cool, man.
I think that's honestly missing a lot in the industry is the educational aspect of it and people investing in their own education. I mean, yeah, there's a ton of stuff obviously online for free, but at the same time, it does, you need to invest money for really good education.
In depth. Yeah.
And the problem here in the US is honestly, there isn't a lot to choose from as far as quality. And I'm not talking obviously CSCS and the NSCA, all that kind of stuff, because I think that is worthless and just no application to the real world. It's just nothing but theory, study, and I wasted tons of money on it. But my thing too is the nutrition is huge, obviously, physiology, but also the training application. And I think you don't see a lot of coaches that put the two together. And, you know, because I think they have a good synergy, obviously. If you know, if you're designing your client's training program, obviously, if you know how to do it correctly, and then putting the nutrition to go along with that, you know, whether it's prep, off season and stuff, you can make the most out of it. I mean, you're seeing guys now, obviously, John Meadows, Scott Stevenson, Jordan Peters, that are really into the training aspect and the nutrition aspect.
Yeah, yeah, that makes total sense to me.
There's just a lot more diet coaches than there are an all-around encompassing coach. And yeah. I like both, you know, with my clients, I do both. And I think that's another missing component that a lot of people just don't take into account.
Well, I'm really excited to ask you our question of the hour here today, because I know you're somebody who's put a lot of thought into this. You know, you're somebody who's applied this to your own life. You've helped a lot of other people, and you know, I'm sure you've tried a lot of things that haven't worked, and you've tried obviously a lot of things that have worked. So, Alan, if you were to go back in any stage of your bodybuilding and change something, what are the things or the main elements that you would have changed?
With what I know now, it would probably be having the complete balance of, you know, training intensity, nutrition, and recovery. So, you know, like a lot of our mindset, and especially when we're young and we can get away with it to an extent, is we push and we push and we push and we push. And then a lot of times we have our egos and stuff and whatnot that get in the way. And we never pull back. And people are, I got this from Eugene Teo, is, you know, people are chasing fatigue and not really performance and improvements in the gym. You know, and you hear John Meadows talk about all the time is you can't keep doing the same thing over and over. You can't keep just, I love progressive overload and stuff like that. I think it works, but there's comes a point where stuff like that is diminishing returns and you need to kind of pull back and allow your body to recover. You know, the thing with that is obviously injuries occurring, then you're shut down for a while, then you're having to play makeup. So I think it's kind of the push-pull type thing. Know when to push and then know when to pull back. And then have that nice balance of, we always talk about, you know, two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. But a lot of people are going, you know, a step forward and two steps back, and they just kind of, some of them keep digging themselves into a hole. And, you know, halfway through my career, you know, I accrued a lot of stupid injuries and stuff. And and the recovery aspect, obviously, it's not just training. It's the nutrition and, you know, fueling your body to recover. You know, inflammation, all that stuff that occurs with the intensity that we bring as bodybuilders, especially the good ones, obviously, we just have that mindset of on and off. And it's hard to have that mentality of, okay, let's pull back. And that was probably the biggest thing with me from Masters Nationals to getting my pro card, is that's what I switched on more as I focused completely on my recovery.
Really?
I didn't do anything magical with my, people's like, what'd you do with your diet? You know, what'd you do with your cardio?
Yeah.
You know, or your cycle or whatever you're talking about. I was like, I didn't change anything. I mean, that stuff remained pretty much the same. I actually pulled back a lot. I went to 3 days a week of training, 30 minutes.
Really?
You know, I implemented yoga 3 times a week. I really focused on my parasympathetic activation, obviously the rest digest system, because as a competitor, you know, competition prep is stressful.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless if you don't think it is or not, it's still a stressor on your body and on your system. Obviously, prolonged periods of deficits, the cardio that we do, all the training. So if you're not focusing on the recovery aspect, you're always in that fight or flight mode, that sympathetic dominance. And the problem with that is your body's not going to utilize fuel properly. You're not going to be in a place to where you're having proper oxygen uptake or burn off fat properly. So you kind of get that stalled out. And then people start, what they start doing, they start forcing things. All right, I got to do more. I got to do more. I got to do more.
Yeah.
When the opposite is actually what you need to do, and you need to pull back. Let your body calm down. Let it be in a place to burn off the fat, you know, to get your conditioning that you want to get. So now my big thing is we're looking at kind of like prepping people to prep. So we want their body set up in a way to where they're going to do all that stuff efficiently. And I've set up protocols now, especially when people get deep into prep, to what we start applying to help calm their system down and keep them out of that crazy stress state. Cause you know, people, you know, they get into, it gets close to the contest and they're nervous as hell. They're stressed out.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, after the show's over with, and they eat some food, or even after prejudging, oh, I look great, you know.
Right.
And they think it was the magic burger and fries they had. It's not. You're relaxed now. Oh, you're not freaking out anymore. The hard part's over. So your body's calmed down. It's not holding water. So the inflammation's reduced. So I think the steps need to be taken before, obviously, you get to stage.
I love that. That makes so much sense, man.
And it, you know, supplemental, there's all, we have supplements, protocols, and all that stuff that we're using now with clients, and it's working wonders. I mean, obviously, I tried it on myself first.
Sure.
And now it's, I think it's a big, big thing. And you're seeing stuff like, you know, fasting's coming out, all these things that are coming out from more of us old school guys because we've been around for so long and done all the stupid shit and are realizing what needs to be done. We're just hoping the younger guys and younger generation will take note and, you know, and hopefully listen to us.
So you're saying that this is something that you've really started implementing recently. This is like in the last year or so. You're saying since Master Nationals till now, until North Americans here. So before that, this is something where you still felt you were, you know, quote unquote, you know, banging your head against the wall, trying to move forward, and fighting it. But it began to make sense. And I can't believe you backed the training down to 3 days a week, and you were doing yoga during this prep as well.
Oh yeah. And that is because you want something. The problem is people think recovery. Okay. You need to be able to not just, you know, rest and lay down and all that kind of, that's what they think when they think rest. But I'm talking about actually turning on and activating your parasympathetic nervous system, because that's when you're resting, when you're sleeping, when you're breathing and stuff, that's when you're burning off the fat. It's not during activity.
Okay.
So if you train, your fight or flight turns on, adrenaline goes up, epinephrine, norepinephrine, all that stuff, and your catecholamines, that's great. And you want it during training, obviously. But as soon as that is over with, you want to shut that down as quickly as possible, because obviously cortisol is raised and everything, and turn on the parasympathetic to start recovering and burning off all the fat that you just mobilized.
Interesting.
Just because you're mobilizing fat doesn't mean you're going to utilize it. So that's where obviously the parasympathetic comes in. So you want that autonomic nervous system balance. Now, I've been using it for the last 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
But this is the first time, like, because I really was pushing hard to get my pro card for Masters. And when you're doing things yourself, I mean, you kind of get in your own way. Now, it's easy for me to tell clients that, but I was just pushing to the brink of too much, and I wasn't listening to my own advice.
Okay.
But when I got eighth at Masters, it was a wake up call. I'm like, this, I can't end my competition career like this. So I just flipped the switch and I started doing what I should have been doing all along. And then it worked wonders.
It had to have taken some serious faith on your part too, to be able to say, hey, I'm going to do less and get more out of this.
Absolutely. I mean, I have my mentors or colleagues, whatever you want to say, that I talk to, obviously, after the show, guys I trust. And it really helped having their confirmations, like, yes, you need to back off a little bit. Because obviously it didn't work. I mean, I pushed and pushed and pushed, and it didn't work. So something was wrong. And I've done it with a lot of clients, and it freaks them out initially when I tell them. So, okay, we just back off. And it's not like you're doing it for a long period of time. I backed off for about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then I started ramping up my training a little bit more, and I did more auto-regulated training to where I would listen really to how my performance was doing. And I actually really got really strong during the last 4 weeks of prep.
Really?
Which was a first time experiencing, kind of crazy. So to me, it's all this light bulbs going on, eye openers are happening, that holy shit, this stuff, if you implement it the right way, really works.
It makes sense to me, man. I mean, something that I've noticed is that if I can get the fat off early and then start adding more food back in and do less cardio, have to push less, that somebody is going to look more rested and that they are going to have it's a better look overall, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's the thing with, you know, like I said, you need to make sure your body is in a great place before you actually start a contest prep.
Mm.
People are jumping into contest prep and their health markers are all to shit. They have a resting heart rate of like 85 and blood pressure is high.
Mm.
And it's insane. And you're like in no place or state to build muscle or lose fat.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of set those markers first and get those corrected. And then you're going to have a much smoother progression into your competition.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about other aspects too of being ready to prepping to prep, and mm-hmm. making sure that, you know, you're not going into it on low calories already. You're already eating an ample amount of food, and it sounds like you're saying to kind of come in almost a healthy rested state, and then continue mm-hmm. that way, which is it's kind of almost the opposite of what I think a lot of us think of when we think of prepping. Because when I think of prepping, part of me thinks like, oh, you're suffering, you're grinding, it's going to be hard, you know, that you're going to wear yourself down. But it sounds like as you're experiencing that, then you're also backing off.
To an extent. Now, don't get me wrong. Obviously, calories are going to get low to an extent for people. They're going to drop. That's part of it.
Yeah.
Your body fat gets to a certain point, and you're going to have low energy. I don't care how much food you're eating.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality of – I mean, bodybuilding is not healthy, period. I mean, people that think that – I mean, competition part anyways.
It's
full of themselves. But we try to keep it as healthy as possible, obviously. And it's not to say you're not going to have low energy. I mean, I don't want people to get that idea, because that's far from true.
Just right.
Because, and that just has to do with body fat levels. Once you're to a unnatural state, that's just part of it. I mean, you just don't have those fuel reserves anymore and you're just depleted. But at the same time, you can keep yourself from having to do 3 hours of freaking cardio the last 3 to 4 weeks. When you are feeling extremely lethargic, low energy,
yeah.
You want to be in a place where you're being efficient with what you're doing, and maybe you are just doing HIIT 3 times a week, but it's only 10 minutes. So would you rather do 10 minutes of some kind of conditioning aspect or 2 hours?
Yeah.
So, and then you're spending the rest of the time resting and recovering.
I love that. And you'll have more time to do everything else you need, the, you know, posing and presentation,
exactly.
All that stuff. Cause those things are so important. And I feel like we get so wrapped up in just trying to get that fat off and panicking at the end that we don't have time to deal with the presentation. And then that's an easy place where you could lose.
Oh, that was really hard to see at North Americans. And I'm seeing it too often now. These guys that have phenomenal physiques, and then they get on stage and it's like, oh my God, what the hell just happened to you?
Yeah.
It's like they can't show what they have at all. And then they start shaking. They start fading really bad after maybe 1 to 2 rounds of posing. And it's just awful. I saw 2 guys drop 3 or 4 places that could have potentially won their pro cards this, you know, weekend ago. And it was just, I'm like, got to put in the work, guys. It's not just about looking good.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it may be about laziness that somebody didn't put the work
absolutely.
In. But then at other times, I feel like you just don't have the hours in the day because you're so spent.
Yep. And that is definitely because you think about people that are, they get up, they do their morning fasted cardio.
Yeah.
And then they go train. And then some of them do cardio again in the evening time. And then they're working a regular job and they have a family. They have kids. I mean,
sure.
There's just some things that are completely unrealistic, and that's my big thing. Like I just don't take people on anymore that unless they're in a good place to jump into a prep. I'm like, look, okay, we need to take a step back to give us a few months to set things up, and then we can attack a show later. You're going to really, really suffer. And you know, I don't want that to happen to anybody, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, like I said, it's the mentality. It's hard, especially for younger guys, because that's all they see is the end, and they want that contest. They want to win.
Sure, sure. And they want to do it now.
Yeah. Oh, God. And, yeah, then obviously people are getting to extremes with everything else because they want it now. I mean, if people saw what I was taking, you know, for my competition super supplements, they would freak out.
Really? It was that low, huh?
I was 400 milligrams of test, and 300 milligrams of Masteron. That's it. I didn't take anything else.
No kidding. Wow.
I've done that the last 3 years.
And you looked fantastic, man. I mean, you looked hard. I wouldn't have said, gee, he needed to be harder.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, too, if you're keeping your body as healthy and as rested as you can, and you're recovering properly, it has a much better look to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's a huge thing as well. I mean, obviously, cause you see people that just beat themselves on the ground and you can see it on stage.
Well, you know, just listening to you say all this stuff, it sounds so logical to me. Like all of this, I mean, it is and it isn't. I mean, it takes hearing somebody say this, I think, sometimes, because you're telling me that, yeah, you know, you want to be successful at a contest, then you need to come in from the right perspective. You know, you got to plan ahead. And I think that's something I think that a lot of people miss. And when we talk about planning ahead, we're not just talking about giving yourself 16 weeks. You're talking about the amount of preparation that goes into your health before that, the amount of preparation that goes to having your nutrition where you as a coach would want that nutrition to be beforehand. I like this, man. I think it's you make it seem, you put it, you take something that seems difficult and you put it into a very simple, I think, set of directions. I think it's very helpful, and I think this will be really helpful to the guys out there listening. At least I hope it is. I hope they're listening to you right now.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Are they listening? And that's the thing, like, is people's off season. I mean, that's so important, and people just kind of let things go during their off season. The you know, the contest is over, and it's not obviously to say you don't enjoy your food and all that good stuff. We all do.
Yeah.
But you still need to have focus. If you truly want to improve and get better for the next contest, you have to focus on your off season as much as you do your prep and setting yourself up. And that's why, like, I'm starting to do more seminars myself, and I'm getting ready to put one on in a month or so on just the post contest aspect and setting your body up to grow and not just, because, you know, obviously you've been dieting for 20-24 weeks. A lot of people will jump in and just, I gotta grow right now. Well, your body's kind of stressed to hell because of the shit you've been doing for the last 20 weeks. We gotta reset health markers. We need to get things back into play, and then you're going to have a very productive off season. But people always, the rebound effect and all that. Yeah. The rebound doesn't have to be the day after your show. I mean, give it a few weeks. Get your body back to a normal state. Set it up. And then you'll grow like crazy in a much better, healthier state. But guys, you know, they just want to jump in. They want to keep their doses really high right after a show and all this craziness. And their body's already been stressed out the gills for the last 24 weeks.
Yeah.
And they want to continue that, so to speak.
Now, I told you I just had the one question. I'm going to try to sneak another one in here really quick. What do you have going on for your nutrition right now? I mean, I assume, you know, your calories had to be taken low. And you said you're putting yourself in a position now where you're getting ready to begin growing again. What are you personally doing with nutrition at this point?
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of questions with that because of my posts too. So obviously, like I just talked about, the biggest thing right now is getting my health markers to exactly where they should be. So everything I'm doing right now is to reduce any type of systematic inflammation I have in my system. Obviously, upregulate my thyroid output, because it just, anybody's will downregulate to an extent when you diet down. And I've been dieting for 6 months. So my initially right now, so I'm training 4 days a week. On all my training days and one off day, is I am doing a pure, I don't like saying keto because I just hate naming diets, but okay. I'm just doing purely fat based.
Okay.
And so my carbs are coming from veggies now, and I never have, never will measure veggies. I'm pounding 200 to 300 grams of veggies per meal probably.
Wow.
Because that helps, obviously, with reducing inflammation. It helps with your immune system and obviously all the micronutrients that are in there. But it's just fat-based days and just protein. So people see my pre-workout, and it's nothing but fats all day. So I'm not doing carbs, nothing intra, nothing. It's just all fats. And then 2 days a week on my off days, I'm having a very high-carb refeed.
Really?
So upwards of about 500 grams of carbs on those days and minimal fats on my on two off days, and then one off day is still, you know, a fat based.
So what's your reasoning for this then? You're keeping the carbs, and because a lot of people would say, you know, you use the carbs for mm-hmm. your training and you fuel your workouts, but you're having them on the days that you're not training.
So, and that's the thing too with people, like say somebody's doing a refeed during a prep or something, you're looking for glycogen storage. So doing it on a day you're not training, you're going to store more than the days you're actually training. So you're going to have a lot more in the reserves in the tank to utilize when you do train. So like if I have a refeed and I train the next day, I still have plenty of glycogen in there to utilize that day that I had the day before. It's not going to automatically just, you know, disappear overnight. So and this is also to keep my, you know, body fat levels into control while I'm upregulating all my hormonal functions.
Okay.
You know, so it doesn't blow up. So, and fats are a fuel as well. I mean, obviously, it's not like carbs are just the only thing your body's going to be fueled off of.
Okay.
So, you know, my body's still utilizing fat as a fuel source on the training days. So it's not like, that's the problem. People think carbs are the be all end all, and they're good. Don't get me wrong, but I think people get a little too crazy with them and overemphasize them. I like a balance of them all. And then once I run this phase, then yes, I will shift back into, you know, doing carbs on my training days as my training intensity start going up. And then we start pushing for more and more growth. And that's the thing right now. I'm not pushing for growth. I'm maintaining at this point.
Okay.
Getting my health markers back to a good place. I still have plenty of fuel. The two 500 gram carb days are still giving me plenty of fuel for performance on my training days, which are only 4 days a week. And the training's moderate to low volume, just because, like I said, I'm kind of building things up right now.
Yeah.
They're still very intense. They're just lower volume.
Okay.
I'm still, you know, I'm pushing a failure on things and whatnot, but, you know, four exercises for legs. You know, and I'm doing a lower body day and I have two upper body days and then I'm rotating through them.
Okay.
During the week. So yeah, it's just and I understand people's mindset. He's like, because I've literally gotten 50 messages on like I'm doing something magical or something crazy. Why are you not having carbs on your training days and you're doing them off? Well, like I said, you know, the carbs are there. I'm still utilizing them on my training day because I still have that storage there. But fats are still a fuel source. And if you have good metabolic flexibility, your body's going to utilize the fats as well. You know, so you're not going to hurt your muscle. You're not going to lose muscle or anything crazy like that. I mean, still calories are calories.
Yeah. Yeah. I see where you're going with this, man.
I will transition into the carbs. So people, don't worry about that. You'll see me having many carbs once the body's back to a normal state, which I plan on and probably – I'd say I'll give myself another week or two, probably two, and then we'll start really switching gears and really start pushing things in a good way, obviously, to grow and try to add that 10 to 15 pounds of stage weight within the next year.
Awesome. Well, listen, man, I'm going to be following along and cheering you on along the way. I'm sure that everybody out there listening is going to be following along too. If anybody doesn't know where to find you, where can they reach out? Where can they follow along with your progress and ask you about training and your services?
Yeah. Well, the website is maximumperformancetraining.net. And then also we just launched our membership site, musclebank.com. And I have a journal on there and it's extremely detailed on my training, my nutrition, everything, weekly changes, all that stuff. I got workouts, my workouts, they're filmed and voiced over on what I'm doing, why I'm doing.
Very cool.
And they're printable, so you can print those off. We have recipes on there. I have interviews on there that I'm doing with other, you know, coaches and stuff like that. And it's for the whole demographic. It's not just for bodybuilders.
Okay.
And then obviously you can – and that's just musclebank.com. It's like $9 a month.
Nice.
And then obviously I post like crazy on social media on everything. So that's just, you know, Alan Kress on Instagram and just obviously Alan Kress on Facebook.
Awesome.
And just message me on there or email me at alancress@hotmail.com. And then I'm starting to do more workshops. I have one October 4th here in Lexington at the Lexington Athletic Club. And it's on post-contest, how to approach it, how to set yourself up to grow, get things back to working optimally and stuff. And that'll be a kind of like a 3 or 4 hour seminar.
That's cool, man. I feel like we need more seminars. They're fun, and I feel like they used to happen a lot more in the 90s. I feel like there could be so much good information spread with those things. I love that you're doing that.
That's what I said. And it's sad, like, they're not around here anymore. Yeah. Like, I went to Australia twice this year because that's where the great education is. Hmm. And I went over there and did, you know, 2 4-day seminars. I'm going to Austin in 2 weeks to do a 5-day seminar, and they're going to be like 9-hour days.
No kidding.
Of workshops and seminars. So my brain's going to be in overload, and it's going to be time for a vacation.
Nice. Well, Alan, thank you so much, man, for coming on. This is a very educational treat, and I'm sure that the listening audience really appreciates it.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on, Scott.
Guys, for IFBB Pro Alan Kress, I'm Scott McNally for Advices Radio. Welcome back to Advices Radio, and with me up next is brand new IFBB Pro, David Reed. David, thanks for being with me, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me on, Scott. I appreciate the heads up like the other day when you talked to me and asked me about this. So, yeah, it's not, I don't get a lot of notoriety, so once in a while to get a little shout out or something is kind of nice.
Well, I don't know why that is, man. You've got a great personality, and you've always got a lot to say. You know, I watch your Facebook videos. For anybody who doesn't follow David on social media, you guys got to check him out. And you know, he'll be linked on our social media when we release the show here. And David is a local guy here in Michigan. I've watched him compete for years now. And you've always done well. You've got a lot of muscle on you, but you just happened to do exceptionally well this year at North Americans. You managed to get your pro card, man. So congratulations. It's really awesome.
Yeah, well, I kind of told myself after 20, it was weird because when I came back in 2015 after a 10-year non-competitive hiatus, I was married, and I just said, you know, I can't coexist with the bodybuilding, competitive bodybuilding, and a marriage is too much, you know, with work and everything else.
Yeah.
And a child. So I was like, put that aside. It was no big deal for me in reality, because I always loved lifting. It's more the process for me. I didn't really care that much about the competition. But in 2015, we got separated and divorced, and my mom was dying of cancer. So I was like, I got to sink myself into something I'm familiar with. Mm. So I went back to bodybuilding competitively and did the Michigan. Then I went, you know, and I had a really, I don't know, there's so much stress, like my body came apart. And then like 6 weeks later, I think I showed up, or 7 weeks later, I went to the Masters Nationals and finished fourth in the super heavies over 40. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I do kind of belong on the national level. I kind of gave myself a little jolt of, you know, I guess like adrenaline. I can do this.
And yeah. So yeah.
Came back the next year and, you know, got, at Masters, I got third in the over 50 supers, then second in the North American heavyweights. And then this year, got first in the Masters super heavies and finished third in the overall. And then missed my pro card by a spot, and then came back and did the North Americans, where I sealed the deal. So I think it was just a matter of conditioning and getting my body right. So that was, you know, once I kind of had my mind wrapped around it, Justin Harris really dialed me in tight for these last two shows, and I brought like a different package of conditioning the last show, so that right really on. Helped me.
Yeah, I definitely agree, man, too. You know, your conditioning was the best I've seen it at here, and I think it was well deserved. So you know, the big question of the hour here, the question of the show is, you know, you've been doing this a long time, and I felt like the question is, it's beneficial to a lot of the younger guys that are listening to the program now. If you could go back at any point in your bodybuilding career, would you change anything? And if so, what would you have changed?
Well, you know, it's a kind of a multi-factor question, but I'll say a quick brief thing about the things that I think that I did right. And one of them was the the go slow approach, you know, and I never wanted to be like a flash in the pan. I love this sport, but I saw guys that were just, you know, like, you know, all the supplementation and things that people are doing. I was like, you're doing what to yourself? I'm like, that's just insane. Like, what the hell are you thinking? And I was like, I don't care. I don't want to kill myself to be involved in something I'm passionate about. So I always just had a different approach to it, which is like kind of the tortoise and the hare. And I always tell the younger guys, like, listen, the tortoise always wins this race. Hmm. I see plenty of hares in and out of gyms. They burn out all the time. So I think that was probably the one thing that I did really well is pace myself and never, you know, push the limits of anything to the excess to where, you know, even training or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think if I had it to do over again, I think I'd go back in the beginning and I would have probably tempered my enthusiasm and probably reeled in a bit more. I mean, I was crazy back then. I'd do 35, 40 set leg workouts, chest workouts, back workouts. And all the older guys are like, you know, you can't train that heavy in that many sets and recover and expect to grow. And I was like, you guys are just idiots. You're pansies. You can't do this. That's why you're telling me I can do it. And it was like, had I known then what I know now, I think I could have probably escalated my progress probably exponentially had I hit a brain. But I was just like, I was so passionate about just pounding myself into the ground that I just, you know, I loved that part of the training, but
yeah,
it was, you know, I never hurt myself, but toward the end of my career, I started training smarter, lighter, more, I wouldn't say more control because I was never sloppy, but more about the feel of it instead of, you know, not moving something from point A to point B, but rather how I moved it and lighten up the weight, and I grew better. Yeah. So
nice. So you're saying that you found better results by kind of dialing it back a little bit.
Yeah, honestly, like not taking every set to a failure, because back then I would be, you know, pump. Okay, you know, I'd say we'll just use bench for an example. I'd warm up and do 135, then I'd put 225 on, do 225 for 15, which still wasn't failure, but then it would be like 315 for 15, which would be up, you know, the upper ranges of my limits. Then 365 for 10 or 12, then 405 for 7 or 8, and then 455 for 4.
Jeez.
But every one of those sets were going to the limit where I think I pushed too far and I couldn't recover. You dig that hole is so deep to get out of, and you know there's not enough nutrition, supplements, anything to get you out of it. And I think that sometimes in the exposure, you know, multiple days in a row, 4 and 5 days without a rest day. And
yeah, that's what I try to tell a lot of the younger guys, and you know what, they don't want to listen. And I get it because I've been in the same place, the place that you're talking about, where you know you love the gym so much. It's sometimes it's hard to take a rest day. It's hard to find balance. And I have guys who tell me, well, I don't really like to do anything else. This is what I like doing, you know, so I don't want to take a day off. And if I do take a day off, I don't have anything to do. I'm just sitting there and I start feeling nervous. You know, I'd much rather be in the gym lifting weights. But, man, it's so important. I think this is such a good message that you're sharing here.
No, I really do, like, you know, like everybody, I mean, I think right now this society, the way these kids are being raised, and I'm not going to sound like an old fart and say millennials,
yeah,
but there's such a mentality of instant gratification that, you know, I have to have it now instead of, you know, back in the day when I started competing, you didn't dare think about setting foot on the stage in the Michigan until you've been training 5, 6, 7, 8 years solid. Mm. And you better damn well be a beast when you show up because you get humiliated there.
Yeah.
Like, classes were 8-10 guys deep, you know, just studs.
Each class too, right?
Each class. I'm not joking. Like guys like Darian Bond, who are IFBB pros, Darian started out as like a lightweight.
Okay.
Won his pro card as a light heavyweight. So, you know, you see these guys evolve from 154-pound guys to 198-pound guys over 6-7 years of just pounding the weights and, you know, great genetics and supplementing intelligently and – and you'd watch it and you're just like, that's how it's done. And these nowadays, it's this, that haphazard approach is going to lead. I think you're going to see, unfortunately, probably more deaths before it shakes down and people get the idea that, listen, you can't go from a 185-pound guy to a 330-pound guy in 5-6 years. And, you know, people are always, oh, the genetics. And I'm like, listen, man, it hasn't changed that much over the past, like, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
The genetic component, it's not like these guys are so much greater genetically. There's just a whole different understanding of chemistry that's going into it. And, I mean, the size, I don't think the quality's gotten better. I think the quality's gone down in physiques. Hmm. I think the size has gone up. And it's this bloated stomach, huge bloated muscle bellies. Like, I'm not a big fan of that look. Always tried to maintain like a tighter, streamlined physique. I didn't want to be like people. I think the greatest compliment I ever get is like, you got really good balance. You're not cartoonish. You look like a big athlete, not a, you know, a superhero off of a magazine or something. It's like a different look. And I kind of like that, you know, that I'm kind of more, I'm probably pretty unassuming in sweats. Like, I'm backstage and like, the camera guys walk by, they look at me like I'm nothing, you know? Like, and then I show up and people are like, wow, that guy, that's the guy backstage, whatever. I assume that's what people must be thinking, because like I said before in the beginning, like, I don't get a whole lot of attention like that. And I'm not that I care really, but at the same time, like, well, I'm kind of a top five finisher for the past 5 or 6 national shows. You know, you'd think that somebody would start to recognize the fact that you're showing up and doing well at these things, but
well, they did, and you were rewarded for it. So
finally, yes.
Yeah, let me ask you though. Cool. So you know, you're in that situation where you do need to kind of like, you know, rein it in, keep it cool, and not show up at the gym 7 days a week. How do you find that balance? What else does somebody do with their life when they come to you and they tell you, hey, look, this is all I want to do. This is all, I love this, you know. What do you say to somebody when they're in that situation and you're trying to explain to them, you know, that they need the time off? I mean, what do you do with your time how do you stay out of the gym and keep your life occupied, you know, away from the weights to not be in there 7 days a week?
That's never been a problem for me. I've been so busy my whole life. Like, I mean, I've been a 60+ hour a week work week type of a guy since I've been in my 20s, because I was a trainer for 22 years. And I mean, I was getting in the gym at 5 a.m. and I was sometimes getting home at 10 p.m.
Okay.
You know, like, and I'd have clients, maybe 12, 13 clients a day. And, you know, I was busy constantly, Saturdays, Sundays. And I mean, after a while, you're like, I'd have to squeeze my training in around my clients, not vice versa, where I didn't plan my training day. I would have like, okay, I got clients from 5 to 1, then from 1 to 3, I'd train. And then 3 to 8, 9, 10, I'd be in the gym with clients straight. Yeah. And I'd go home. So for me, it was actually the opposite. Like, I never had to worry about it. It was nice to actually get out of the gym once in a while. And like recently, probably, I don't know, like, I still train because I've dialed back my intensity. I can train a bit more exposure without pounding myself, because I'm not taking sets to the limit, you know, at all anymore. Very rarely do I take anything to failure.
Okay.
Usually I still have reps in the tank, but you know, the days I trained legs with Ryan Bidigiri, that's another story. Those were pretty painful Sundays. Yeah. Like, I'd get anxiety by Wednesday when he emailed me the workout. I'm like, God,
nice.
This is what we're gonna do. Feel sick for a couple hours, but you know, well worth it. But you know, to me, it's, I don't know, like, find a hobby, find other things, become more well-rounded. I think too many of us in bodybuilding get really one-dimensional. Mm. Everything's about your meals. It's about your life around it. And it's like, you become very isolated.
Yeah.
Almost like an addict personality.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But in any kind of, I think, imbalance to that level is unhealthy emotionally as well as spiritually and physically. You know, I think it you become a different, I don't know, like, it's very hard for people to relate to unless they're into it. And then you can't really date those girls because they're so much into that end of it too, that there's no room in that relationship for more ego, you know, like, people
right.
And I'm not saying it being mean, it's
no,
just like,
you're just being honest,
very self-centered focal point. Like, you have to have a partner that can be understanding.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's very difficult. And I think for these young guys, like, just, you know, I told people, I said, listen, there's not a great deal of money in this sport. So do it. Think of it as an expensive hobby, yeah, and in a passion. Follow your dream, but like don't look at this thing as you're going to monetize it. If it comes that way, great. But far too many people think they're going to, you know, be the next Steve Kuklo or, you know, the Justin Comptons, or it's just not that many spots in this realm for that. So to me, do it because you love it, but also realize that there's other things in your life, and don't spend the next 30 years, you know, chasing something down without having lived life. Like, I've always lived life. Like, I'll give you an example. Ryan Bittier would be like, I don't know how you live 6 months out of the year like this monk. Like, you're just like this machine who never does anything wrong. And then the other 6 months, you're just having fun, chilled, you're laid back. And I'm like, yeah, that's called balance. It's extreme. Maybe I go really far to the one side and I go really far to the other. But if you're everything's from like the middle of the road to one side, it's very unbalanced.
Yeah.
And I've tried to have that balance in my life.
Well, it sounds like you've found other things, you know, just work alone. I mean, having a focus and making a career. I mean, that's, I think, the first and foremost and most important thing. You know, I've had other people on here not too long ago. James Hollingshead from the UK said, you know, make sure that you have the finances first before you begin bodybuilding and try to do anything with it. You know, without money, you're not really going to be able to maintain any kind of quality of life to begin with. So, I mean, I think, you know, you're hitting on something right there that, you know, you want something else to do with life. Focus on that, right? Focus on a career in making something. And then, like you said, you know, with that other period of time, the bodybuilding, or like you said, a hobby. I think those are all great ideas, man.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, if you want to succeed long-term in this, like, I mean, I won't say that I've like, you know, cause I mean, everybody, there's guys that have like messaged me and said, well, what are you going to do now that you're a pro? Like, I'm like, let's like look at the stark reality. I'm a 51-year-old man. It's like, what am I going to do with it? I mean, it was an achievement, you know, and that's the way I look at it, is I wanted to get to that. And now I can say I did. I got to the upper echelon. But to,
hell yeah,
in reality, is it gonna, I told people it won't change my life an iota, because it's not like I'm suddenly going to become this, you know, demigod bodybuilder who's going to be having people come out of the woodwork and, hey, can we... We want to throw a bunch of money at you, do this and that. You know, maybe 25 years ago, that would have been a possibility. But I just never, to me, it was just a hobby that I was passionate about. And I never wanted to become my sole vision. I loved training people. And I knew I was making a lot of money doing that. And I was successful at it. And I'm like, well, what do I need? You know, I don't need bodybuilding. I love bodybuilding, but I don't want to have it be like the only thing that I think about.
So you don't need it. I think that's a great place to be, where you could, and then that way too, you can continue to love it.
I love the training, because if you ask me the whole thing like over and over, I love to see if I can push myself through a process and stick to a plan and stick to a program and suffer and endure everything. The day of the show, I'm really flat. Like, people are, they're oddly, like, even Ryan mentioned to me in Pittsburgh, he goes, you don't seem that happy that you won. And I go, I am happy. I don't know what to say. Like, there's almost an emptiness at that point, because you've been plotting and planning for this for a long time. And there's that feeling of what's next.
Wow.
You know,
after now you've achieved this, and this is something that you've focused on for a really long time. And I guess that's a big question. I imagine it'll probably take a long time to answer it. But what have you come up with so far? What's next in this? I mean, I'm giving you just basically days at this point to come up with an answer to that one.
Well, I told people, I said, you know, generally speaking, I looked at this as my like swan song.
Yeah.
But then I keep hearing from people, and everybody's like, oh, you got to do one pro show. And, you know, in the back of my head, I'm like, and I said it before I did this. I said, well, I kind of got to step foot on stage once as a pro, just to experience the whole process. And you know, I don't know, like, I have a lot of, like, I guess I have to go through my own personal inventory and ask myself, you know, can I push myself to that level again? Because I really took a lot out of myself emotionally, physically, mentally to prepare for this show.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I have it in me to push that far again. there's times where I felt mentally like I was, and I'm a tough person when it comes to mental strength. I was like, man, I am done. Like, I'm so toast right now.
Yeah.
And I would just dig in, and, you know, there's times I get up and damn near have tears in my eyes. I gotta go to the gym and I gotta go do cardio. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Barely slept the night before. And I'm like, you know, because as the leaner you get, the worse your sleep gets. And it's you know, I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. But I was like, I don't know. You know, like when you kind of get on that razor's edge, you ask yourself, do I want to go back there again? Like, that's a, you know, it's almost like climbing Mount Everest. I used that, alluded to it before. You can only stay there for a little bit of time because once you get to the mountain, the top of the world, your body's basically dying physiologically. So you can take a couple pictures, then you got to go down. Well, it's the same thing with that kind of conditioning. Like, you can take your body up to that level, and then you got to come back. And it's like, that's a hard thing to do sometimes, because once you've been in supreme shape, it's like anything else, you feel fat. You know, like, you're like, I'm a mess. Look at me, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm all of 6% body fat now instead of 5%, you know? So it's a weird psychology that goes on in your head, but I don't know. Like, as of right now, it's just going to be chill time, relax, spend time, friends, family, you know, loved ones, my daughter. And from there, you know, I'll make a decision. I'm going to still train hard. I don't know how not to. So I'll still train hard, rigorous, keep my diet good. And then, you know, we'll see. I'll say this. I doubt if I was to do anything, it would be in 2018. It would probably be 2019.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah, I think that I need a little bit of time to kind of, you know, let my body rest some, recover from this. It's been a long 7 months, and then go from there and just see, and, you know, if I feel like it. I think it would be the show that would be best for me would be the Masters Pro Show in Pittsburgh, but that's in September. I don't want to diet my whole summer away ever again.
Yeah.
So I think that if I did something, it would be like a Wings of Strength or something in Chicago earlier in the year, like a June or May, or so I can diet starting out in the winter.
How long do you usually diet for?
As I've gotten older, they're a little bit longer, maybe 16 to 20.
Okay. Now, do you need 20 weeks, or do you just do that so you can take it slow and not have to push quite as hard all at once?
Well, this last year, like, I don't lose my abs. Like, I can see all six the whole year round, but, like, I felt a little fluffy. 266, I think, was my peak weight this year.
Okay.
And off, and I competed at 235. So I dropped 31 pounds. So if you figure if you're safely drop a pound after 2 pounds a week, you're looking at 15.
Yeah. Now, you know, just out of curiosity, you had pushed even much further than that previously. Didn't you get like all the way down to heavyweight?
Yeah, I got the 225 flat, which was, I got to Pittsburgh, and I did things a little bit differently with my water last year.
Okay.
And,
that's a huge difference, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was a little shocked, actually. I thought the scale might have been a little heavy when I got on the scale in Pittsburgh, that it weighed me at 235. I didn't really – I think, you know, I was right around 230. But, I mean, I had carbs and water. I drank 2.5 gallons on the way to Pittsburgh. So
okay.
I'm not sure, you know, how much, you know, I mean, a pound or a gallon of water is about 9 pounds. So if I was holding fluid in me, you know, I mean, I could easily account for that weight. But – yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I thought it was a little bit heavy, but I didn't care. I kind of wanted to go super.
Right on.
You know, I think the lowest I got, I think in the prep, post-cardio, dehydrated, I got out of the shower in the morning at Lifetime at like 224.7 or something was my lowest.
Okay.
But that's like completely probably dehydrated. And then, right. Bounced it back up. I mean, it would be like 228, 229 a lot of times. So I kind of knew I was going to end up being a super because the way Justin had the plan set up, we were drinking and carbing from Wednesday, like 600-700 grams on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Thursday. And then Thursday was weighing day, and I was having like 450 grams of carbs that day. So I knew I was going to be, you know, probably up over that limit. So.
Right on. Well, hey, listen, man, this is fun talking to you. I would love to have you back. I feel like you've had so much experience with the sport, and you've got a lot to share. I just I want to pick your brain and hear what else you've got to say. So let's if you don't mind, I'd love to bring you back at some point in the future here soon.
Oh no, it's an honor. You know, I love listening to your show. I was listening to you and Skip Hill as. He's fun.
Skip's great. Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, he's an entertaining and very educational. Like, I love sitting back and listening to guys, and I know how much passion you have for it. So, you know, that always kind of fuels my fire to, you know, when I hear you guys, and makes me go to the gym and train a little harder and do things a little, you know, differently. So,
right on. I know that, you know, podcasts have gotten me through a lot of cardio sessions. So if I can help anybody else get through theirs, I know I've done something good for the day.
you certainly have for me, so I appreciate
it. Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, David, I really appreciate you coming on, man. And I can't congratulate you enough, man. You're a great guy, and it couldn't have happened to a better person. So congratulations on your win.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Where can people reach out to you if they want to get a hold of you, if they want to see what you're doing in social media and stuff?
You can catch me on, I'm on Instagram as Ideal Athlete, and right. I'm on Facebook, so you can just find me on Facebook, David Reed, R-E-I-D. So, I thought about putting up like a, because everybody's like, you didn't change your thing to David Reed IFBB Pro. And
that's,
I'm like, no.
That's the big question. See, you didn't change it, huh?
No, I don't know. I don't know. It's just not for me. I don't think so.
Well, right on, man. You're staying humble, huh?
Yeah, I tried to.
All right. Well, guys, if you want to reach out to David, I'll have links to all his social media and stuff at the Facebook post for this show. And David, thanks for being with me, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Scott. I appreciate it. And, thanks for reaching out.
Guys, for David Reed, IFBB Pro, I'm Scott McNally for Advices Radio.
Radio.